Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for downloading Outspoken, the podcast that brings you the very best of our daily Talk Sport show. Former Celtic, Aston Villa and Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill joined myself and Simon Jordan to look back on a busy weekend of football with West Ham struggling at the bottom and Manchester United pushing those at the top. Plus, we speak to not one, but two managers who got back to winning ways on Saturday, with Bournemouth's Gary O'Neill and Huddersfield's Neil Warnock on the show. West Ham ending the weekend in the relegation zone, eased aside by Tottenham in the London Derby. I mean, is there this danger that now we're too good to go down?
They are.
Two wins in the last 13 league games, stretching back to October. You know, they shouldn't think they're too good to go down. Not for one moment.
Well, the inherent troubles for West Ham is the argument they've always been to avail themselves of is that David Sullivan now. And previously, David Salomon and David Gold didn't give them enough resources to be able to match the talent of managing the dugout, and specifically in this instance, David Moyes. Now, that argument can't be advanced now because they've spent 150, 160 million last summer. I do think there's an element of the expectation of West Ham is probably slightly unrealistic because of the remarkable achievements over the last couple of years. Notwithstanding that, they should be nowhere near the bottom three, and they've got a manager that's very calm. And I think very pointed and very acerbic in his observations yesterday after the game. And it'd be interesting to see what he's digging at there. And I thought some of the players on that pitch, specifically Declan Rice, yes, they weren't at it and on it and good enough in that game. But I do think that West Ham will get themselves out of it. But either which way, finishing fourth or fifth and bottom of the league, which is where West Ham might end up finishing and not finishing the bottom three, is by no way a reflection of where the quality of manager and that team should be. I mean, we've had this argument, haven't we, about some of the bigger players that have carried them previously not doing their jobs. But you can't have it now because Bowen's up and at it again.
Yeah.
Suchek's better.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at it again. It is what it is. This is a poor side at the moment.
Well, I mean, I was looking at it through there, Martin, before we came on air. The five league wins all season, Bournemouth, Everton, Villa, Fulham and Wolves. None of the big boys. Mm. So when they meet some of the big boys, they wilt. They can't do it. And I think now there's genuine concern for West Ham fans. They're looking at championship football.
Well, I think with the number of games left, and that's not that many, then obviously if you're in that position, then it's going to be there is a difficulty. They can't win the games, as you say. And when you can't win, and when you... they've had a little decent run before that there, but you're talking about a quite a substantial number of matches. When they haven't been able to do that over the whole season, then it does become a problem. And you think to yourself, well, listen, we'll win two consecutive games and we'll pull ourselves clear. Sometimes that doesn't work like that. When you find yourself in this position and you realise that you are down there, then there is definitely a mindset that you feel as if it... Mm. You talked about sitting there on the defensive. Well, sometimes you go into a game, if you're in that position, you feel as if, well... You know, getting a point from the game today—it's not necessarily you set out in that fashion. But if you try and cast your mind over the 90 odd minutes, and you think if we can come out with a point here today, particularly at Tottenham, then you think, OK, we're fine, we're still on that little run.
Yeah.
But it does become difficult. But you lose. There's no question.
I mean, Martin, there's a fellow countryman of yours, Frankie, over in Belfast. Good morning to you, Frankie. Sad to say, guys, Moyes needs to go. He should have gone before, but the board didn't have the guts to do it. I'm afraid he's running out of ideas. There is something wrong. Do you think there's something wrong, Martin?
I don't...
Do a couple of wins change it?
A couple of wins change, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, there's a rush to judgment all the time about managers. They've had, as Simon mentioned, a couple of really decent seasons. Really, they're playing in European football at this minute as well. So they've had some decent seasons. I think there is a big expectation now about West Ham. I wonder where that always... I don't know where that was always placed, really, because West Ham, you know, the old school, academy school, that type of thing, great, great players, obviously, and the three lads who won the World Cup way back.
Yeah.
Terrific players, Trevor Brooking in his time as well, too. But West Ham always seemed to... They almost seemed to falter just at a stage when you thought that they were going to come through. So maybe expectation is very, very high. And I think when you do set a standard of what you think, then maintaining that there, the minute that you drop behind that, then there's obviously a massive rush to judgment.
Simon mentioned, singled out Declan Rice. You make no apologies for it, I'm sure, Simon. No. Roger from Mansfield. Simon's right. In my view, Declan is one of the most overrated players in the business right now. I mean, Martin, is that unfair? I mean, it doesn't all fall at Declan Rice's doorstep, does it?
Not at all.
It's a collective responsibility.
Well, of course it is. Declan Rice has done magnificently in the last couple of seasons. So again, anything below that sort of standard feels as if... Did you say something, Simon, that you felt as if he was disinterested in the game?
He just wasn't the Declan Rice that I've been used to seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was surprised at it, because you need in games like that, you need your leaders to stand up. Yeah. And he is their leader, isn't he, to some extent?
Yes, he is. I wouldn't disagree with that. Okay. But I would never accuse Declan Rice of being disinterested.
Okay.
I said he wasn't at it. Now, well, that might mean his performance level wasn't at it. But if you also pick out the bones of the last three games, in fairness to West Ham, Newcastle, you know, Chelsea and Tottenham are not easy games, albeit Chelsea are all over the place. The next game at home to Nottingham Forest is the
huge
game they have to start focusing on winning.
Absolutely.
Because if they lose that game, they've then got Man City coming down the line and other teams around the top six that are going to give them trouble.
100% engagement.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Who's going to go down? It is a real scrap. Who's going to go down? West Ham went to Tottenham yesterday. We're discussing that, the other side of the 10:30 bulletin. And they go and they disappoint. They lose by 2-0. But Simon, you were saying that you read into the David Moyes post-match quote, you read in a lot of significance into the way he dealt with his address to the media. He says, "I do know I'll be looking to see the colour of the players' eyes in the next week. I can imagine what the colour of mine will be. The players have been challenged now. Let's see who's up for the fight." You like that?
Well, I think there is an underlying message to it. I would rather he just said what the message was. But the ideal that I take from it is that he is questioning some of the substance that he's seeing from the players. Now, I'm more interested in hearing what Martin's reaction to that is, because as a manager, you might be able to understand the psyche of those words. You might not read into it what I read into it. If I'm sat there listening to my manager and I'm the owner of the football club, I'm thinking straight away, you've got a problem with a few people in the dressing room. You're not quite comfortable that a few people are doing what they should be doing.
I don't disagree with that, absolutely. And sometimes you want to come out fighting. You know, particularly when you've lost a game, lost a derby game, and you want to come out fighting, and you still at the back of your mind, you've probably just come into the press conference just after you've spoken to the players in the dressing room yourself, let off a little bit of steam, I assume, if that's the case. I know myself, way back when I was when I took over at Leicester, first of all, Leicester City, couldn't win a game to save my life, really had difficult times, crowd baying for blood, and we lost a game against Sheffield United. I don't remember the date, it was actually March the 30th, 1996, and really difficult. And so you go into the dressing room afterwards and you think that, you feel as if, it doesn't really matter what you feel, you're taking the brunt of the criticism, but you want to try and tell the players, excuse me, I'm in this fight, I'm in for this here. And the time I did say to the players, listen, I'm up for this, we can still get promotion, we can do this here, and I don't care what you think, I'm going to get you promotion. I'm not so sure that you believed it, totally. But that's the sort of thing. You have to come out. You have to show a little bit of spirit. If it means that you are taking a little bit of your lambasting in the dressing room into your press conference, too bad.
You had to. Do you ever have to do that at Celtic? Who's with me? I need to know who's with me here.
I'm not so sure over the course of time, but I'm sure there was. We lost to Rangers heavily in my second ever game with them in the second Old Firm game, having won 6-2 in the first one. In the second one, we were well and truly smashed in a game, and that was difficult to take. And that's the day when you thought, would it be a minute? Are we really up for these challenges? But eventually, we'd gained enough confidence over the couple of months before that there to see it through and come out the other side. Had that been the first game that we played and been smashed, might have been a different story.
Yeah, yeah. Might it turn out, Simon, that West Ham indeed have been punching above their weight? It's as simple as that. And now they are where they are because that's where they are.
No, that's not where they are. Mm. But they have been punching above their weight. They're two different things. I mean, the bottom line is, and again, Souness said it when he was here, he felt, and I felt at the beginning of the season, that West Ham might struggle in this season. Because once you set expectations, and albeit their league form fell away, and there was argument, and you talked to a lot of West Ham fans, and there was a disappointment towards the back end of last year, the back end of the 21-22 season, that they actually weren't winning many games, and that people's form were falling away, and actually Europe was putting a band-aid over the actual underlying problem. They weren't performing well in the league. Now, that malaise should have been arrested by this really quite significant spend. You cannot argue in any walk of life that £150 million on a club of West Ham size in a transfer window is not a significant spend. It is a significant spend. So now to have gone the exact polar opposite way, where now you're having the allegation of being underachieving against you, we don't get to, in the world of dropping into relegation terminologies, you don't get to live in the past. As much as your history gives you an element of a pass in certain segments of people's minds, the reality of it is, if West Ham were to get relegated, no one would forgive David Moyes. No one would forget the fact that they got, or forgive the perspective of getting into a semi-final of a European tournament. They would suggest they've got promoted out of the biggest league in world football into the Championship and done it on the back of £160 million transfer spend. So they do have to get their heads in gear. There's enough quality in that side. And, you know, and of course, everybody's got an opinion. We've all got an opinion. The reasons why West Ham didn't turn up yesterday was because Danny Ings wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And they weren't brave enough to play him. Well, I'm assuming the manager's a good reason for not playing him.
Your 100% essential download. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Manchester United coming right up in the rails here. I'm just looking at them now. I can't believe it, actually. Third. Mm. They're in it. They're in the race. They are in it. I mean, when you look at Arsenal on 54 points, United now on 49. But here's the thing, Marcus Rashford single-handedly continues to push United towards the Premier League top two. And of course, he beat your old club. They beat your old club Leicester yesterday. Here's the thing though, Martin, with his deal expiring next summer, no sign yet of an agreement over a new deal. Should his form be bringing delight on one hand, but concern in equal measure on the other? In that the boardroom and Ten Hag still don't have him nailed down.
Well, if I'm Ten Hag, I'd be into the board every single day and saying to them, listen, we've got to nail this. We've got to get it down. We've got to get it sorted out, because every single day that goes past, that nothing, then it becomes a bit of a circus then after that. You know, you feel as if that if the player is deciding that he's not going to stay at the football club, then you're going to have to do something about it. But overall, it's imperative now with the form that he's in. That and amazingly, you wouldn't have been talking like this here way back, you know,
exactly
this time last year, for instance, you know.
Yeah.
If you thought that Rashford was going to leave the football club, you, as a Manchester United fan, you might have thought, well, okay, let it go. But he's hit such a vein of form; it'd be very, very difficult for him to be allowed to walk away.
Have you ever had a player like this who suddenly comes alive? You know, Rashford, Martin, has scored 16 times in 17 games since coming back from Qatar.
Mm. Well, that it's fantastic. It really is, and now, even if you don't see the game live, you're thinking, well, Manchester United scored. Well, it must be Rashford. So that's a big thing at this minute.
Yeah.
So almost everything that he's hitting is going into the back of the net. It is a fantastic run. And well done him. Better than I could ever have imagined this time last year. Or perhaps even ever, really. Mm. And I really couldn't have seen this at all.
You've... You've been a doubter, haven't you, Simon?
No, I've been a doubter of the characterisation that he's world class. I maintain the fact he's a very good player.
Is he world class, Martin?
I'm inclined to agree with Simon in this one. You know, I still think to be considered world class, I think you have to be doing it for a longer period of time for a start, and more consistently. You can't argue about his 3 or 4 months consistency at this minute. Take that over a couple of years.
If he's got any integrity, which is a word that often doesn't belong in football, he should be signing a new contract at Man United because they've carried him for 18 months. Like, he didn't do anything for the last 18 months. And you can point your finger at the management of Man United, which I do, because I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was laughable in his management of those players. He brought a culture in which was like a Butlin's holiday camp where the club was doing them a favour, allowing them to play, rather than the other way around. Coming back from European Championships and deciding that he wanted to go on holiday before he had an operation just gets so far up my nose, I can't imagine it. Because he should have been back getting surgery and being available for Man United, not deciding to go on holiday and then come back and have surgery. The bottom line is he didn't turn up last year. So the difficulty is for Man United, they can't win. There's no way in God's green earth that you give him a contract on the basis of last year's performance. And now you're caught in a situation where the clock's running down and you're into 18 months left. And now you want to give him a contract. And now the box seat has been occupied by him. There has to be a balancing act. If he's a Manchester United product of their academy and understands the opportunity that was given to him and some of the patronisation that he's had over the last 18 months, he'll sign a new contract, get a big bump of pay rise and commit his future to Man United because that's what he should be doing. And Man United are back in ascendancy. They've got a coach now that seems to get the understanding of what it is to be Manchester United. This is an elite football club that once upon a time didn't pay win bonuses to players because they expected to win games and didn't pay bonuses to those players because that was their modus operandi. They've got that back again. So Rashford and this discussion should be put to bed as quickly as it possibly can. But it'll be a horse trade over enormous amounts of money. Didn't earn his money for the last 18 months. Earns his money for 6 months. Get a huge pay rise. There's the perversity of football finances.
Didn't earn his money over the last 18 months.
Again, you know, he's opposite here and he has a viewpoint. I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah, absolutely. His mind, he being Rashford, his mind might have been elsewhere at the time, you know. But even so, football is a business, and he wasn't doing well enough. So yeah, for the second time in about 8 minutes, I've agreed with Simon Jordan.
But now, not only is he doing well enough, he's excelling.
He's excelling.
Let's be fair Simon.
Everything he hits is going in.
Yeah. Simon has the point. You know, would you have loyalty to a football club that did keep you for some considerable time?
Yeah.
Now you're absolutely flying. Everything is in your favour at this minute. I'm hoping that he would sign for Manchester United.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalised plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalised plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Some big results over the weekend, not just in the Premier League, in the Championship as well. One of them stood out an absolute mile. Huddersfield 2, Birmingham City 1. Troy Deeney got the goal for Birmingham, but Hungbo and Headley scored for Huddersfield. Neil Warnock's Huddersfield. Yep, he's back in football. Neil, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Hey, 93, Martin, what are you talking? You look older than me. 93.
Neil, I got to tell you, despite your hair, and you do keep it, that's good, no one looks older than you.
Yeah, listen, congratulations getting back in and well done on the win. So how was it, Neil?
Yeah, it was good. It was a great, great reception, and I've always got on well. I did a show up, one of my shows up there a few weeks ago, and I got a fabulous reception. So it was, you know, they needed help, and it was good to go in. And you know, it's not as if I've got like a 2 or 3 year contract. I'm just going to try and enjoy myself. And you know, like you say, I thought I had called it a day, but I've been enjoying my shows. But it's nice to help out. And there are a lot of young lads in that squad, and we had 2 days. And they listen, you know what it's like, Mark? Sometimes when you're there, they look at you and they want to take everything in, and that's what the group were like. They were really receptive.
Is the job's till the end of the season, right, Neil? And is that it then? Or depending on what happens, you'll have a think?
No, I only work for end of February till the end of the season.
Well, you make an impact in so doing. What was the key factor in you saying yes to Huddersfield?
Well, I've known Dean Hoyle for a long time, and he'd been getting some stick at the club, and it's not been very good really to listen to that. And I've always tried to help to go to people that I like really, and he's one of the chairman the owners that I've always got on well with, and I thought it would be nice. They've had a couple of young managers. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but I think it when I've been in a couple of days, I think you can see that probably they needed somebody like a little bit more experienced, and they've got a lot of energy and what have you. But it's nice to work for people. Even the young lady Anne in the office who was there when I was there, and they were smashing people up here, and you know Yorkshire's like that, so it's good.
Does it incentivise you, Mr. Martin and Neil?
Well, I just said to you, since there's a 20-year difference between myself and me. No, only having a joke, Neil, only having a joke. But listen here, we'll pay you a compliment here because in the studio, they feel that Huddersfield will stay up because you've stepped into the job. So there you go.
I know, but Martin, we've got nine out of the top 10. And fixtures out of the 14. So
have you?
We'll have to play well either. All yeah. We're at Burnley on Saturday, which really is a free hit, I suppose.
Of but course, it's, that's true.
You know, all you can do is try. I mean, I remember when I was a young manager, Martin, coming up against you, and when you were at Wickham,
and you were at Huddersfield.
I remember.
Do you remember opening game of the season? Neil?
You got sent. No, I'm just, let me finish first.
Your language was appalling.
I've only got 5 minutes. I'm on about, you had a man sent off, you, and I thought, I'm sat in the bench, and I thought, we'll win this at Wickham, and we never got a bloody kick. We never got a kick, and I've always thought then, wow, that's good management. They were really organised, and they, you know, like I say about Dyford to get 3 points, I'll never forget that day, Martin. That's why I've always got a lot of time for you and your teams. And I'm sure there's somewhere, you know, you can always come to Huddersfield next year if you want.
No. Is there? Listen, if you haven't settled on your assistant manager there at this moment, if you haven't, you know, just I tell you what you do. Just keep them up and keep the assistant manager's job vacant.
Did you have a few run-ins with him?
I'm not saying this, but his record is excellent. He gave it absolutely everything, and you can ask for nothing more.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, I'm sure you want to congratulate the man.
Of course,
you used to employ.
Yeah. Well, Neil's a great character, and as you know, he is someone that I very much enjoyed having at Palace. And he and I got on very well. I know he gets on very well with Dean at Huddersfield. It's interesting for you, Neil. You've got two teams above you directly. You're going to try and chase down that both are teams that you managed specifically. I mean, there's many teams, difficult to find many teams in that division that you haven't managed. But Cardiff and Rotherham, right above you, are two teams, One, Rotherham, you dug them out of the same place that Huddersfield were in 2 or 3 years ago, didn't you? And Cardiff, yeah, you took into the Premier League. I mean, you're looking down just upon those two and chasing them down.
Well, do you know, I mean, you see today, well, I just read it in the paper, I didn't know that QPR, that Neil Critchley's gone as well at QPR. And I'm looking, I think teams right up to them are in it because, you know, you get on runs like that and it's very difficult to change it. So, and I don't just think about the two teams. I mean, you know, they never asked me to help them out. So, you know, it can't be.
No, I'm not talking about sentimentality. I'm talking about your focus is you've got two sides above you. There's an irony about it. Who you brought in with you? Who's come in with you, Neil?
Just me, just Ronnie Jepson's come
in. I was going to say Ronnie's gone in with you, has he?
Yeah. And we're just going to, like you say, it's not a matter of looking at the next team. I'm sure that the other two teams, we're all on the same points now. Everybody will think they can get out. And, you know, and you look at the next two, yeah. But I look further. I think there's about six or seven other clubs that could get sucked into it. So it's interesting. I mean, it just gives us a chance. With having Burnley next week, if we'd have got beat on Saturday, I mean, you know, 5 minutes gone Saturday and all the uproar and all the euphoria, they go and score a goal. But the big thing on Saturday when they went in front, Birmingham, I said to the lads on Thursday, when I've watched the video, they've gone goal behind and thrown the towel in. And Cluffy, I mean, Martin knows, Cluffy used to say, only takes a second to score. We were on Saturday. I was really proud of them because they fought back and hard and got the two goals, you know, from behind, which I thought was important.
But what is it, Neil, about this game that we all love, but you just can't, when an opportunity still comes along at the age of 74, Neil, and you look good in it, you can't say no.
It's just, you can't replicate when that whistle goes. And no matter what you do, I can fish, I can, you know, cut me grass and all that lot. But it's just something about being in the dressing room. And when I, you know, I mean, the way that I am, I'm sure Martin has his own way. I love making people laugh and smile. But I want them to die for me when they go on the pitch. And, you know, and it's lovely to see young lads listening to you and doing what you want and trying their best. I get a lot of pleasure out of it. And on Saturday after the game, I mean, the fans were brilliant. They never once got on the lads, even when we went the goal down. And at the end of the game, they all waited behind. I thought that was really important, the lads.
Brilliant.
As I said to them after, you know, what does it feel like now rather than the other night at Stoke in the dressing room? You know, you've got to take that on board and just carry on and do your best.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Martin O'Neill, did you ever say to your goalkeeper, we need someone out of this, go up for the corner?
I don't ever remember. That wouldn't have been the topic of conversation. Certainly wouldn't have been the first two or three points I've been trying to make during the course of a team talk.
Yeah.
But if the goalkeeper has decided in the last minute of a game to go up, do you know what? Well, get on with it if that's the case.
We saw Martinez go up at the end, and then at 3-2 we saw Martinelli scoring into an empty net at the other end. Unai Emery was mightily unhappy with Martinez going up and doing what he did, as he explained afterwards.
Yeah, he decided, and something of course is good. The player decided himself on the pitch, but they are the protagonist. But I don't like it. I told him at the end of the match. And maybe you can score in the history one, two times or three times. But the transition, they are more. And I am going to tell them as well the next days. We have to be consistent in our mind, controlling our emotions, and of course, controlling of our game plan we prepare.
You know, Martinez is a World Cup winner in Qatar with Argentina quite recently. So he's been used to being exalted worldwide. To a degree, do you think Emery, he's speaking his mind, but has he thrown Martinez under the bus here?
From a distance, that looks like the case. I'm not so sure that he really meant to be as strong in that. I think that he's obviously disappointed. I think his stats are probably right in terms of the number of times a goalkeeper goes up to the number of times that a goal might be scored at the other end. I know it'd be very, very interesting. But I genuinely don't think he meant it to be as tough as that. If I'm the goalkeeper, I'm scratching my head and thinking, oh, wait a minute, did the Did the manager just
get a bit spiky
just
there?
Have a bit spiky? Yeah, I must admit.
Yeah.
I don't.
You ever done that? Use the media to impart a message.
Do you know what, Jim? I wouldn't want somebody to bring something up and then find out that I'd said it. I don't think so. What I might have done is to say, certainly after a game was over, I don't think I ever threw players under the bus, genuinely. If we've won the game, I think I might have had some little comment about someone or other, particularly if he's done okay in the game.
Yeah.
But I want to get something out that, you know, for instance, Ian Marshall, maybe, a big, big lad who was a scruffy looking player. So I might have said, oh, well done, Ian, for that, or well done, Marshall, for scoring that goal. Might take a bit of scruffiness out of you. I might have made some sort of silly comment like that there, but I don't honestly think that I would have thrown players under the bus after defeats.
No, there are many, Simon, who will remember Martinez's antics in Qatar at that penalty shootout.
That's up to the referee.
At that time, of course, in the final against the French, and the celebrations afterwards, which were none too dignified in the minds of many. Was there a bit of football karma here? Seeing him try to hear back but get nowhere near Martinelli as he puts the ball in the empty net?
Not really, no. I mean,
and the ball coming off the back of his head.
Yeah, I know. First of all, it was a great strike from Jorginho, just a bit unlucky, wasn't it? The goalkeeper, you know, all landing on the way down. I don't look at it that way. I look at the penalty shootout, and his behaviour was the referee allowed it. So there's lots of goalkeepers who would have done the same thing. The referee allowed that sort of behaviour. The pointing at the groin and all that rubbish, yeah, that wasn't the most palatable for a World Cup winner to be doing with a World Cup trophy in his hands. But the bottom line is I had this difference of opinion with Martin. It's maybe because I've never been a football manager. I'm not entirely sure that players deserve to be protected at times. I think you build character in players by treating them equally in success and failure. And you've no problem with praising them in the press. No one has any problem with praising managers in the press. They'll read that all day. And managers and players will bring it into your office as a chairman. Go, look at that for my manager. I want a pay rise. But when it comes to any criticism, all that's taboo. And I believe that you build characteristics in people by being able to praise and castigate in equal measure.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. You wouldn't believe how sensitive some players can be, you know.
But that's not winners, then, is it?
It's not really that. What's the point? What is the point of throwing players under the bus?
Depends if you know the character of the person that you're doing it to.
Well,
if you're going to give someone a telling off, right? Yeah. You better know why they're going to receive it. Otherwise, the only person that's getting validation out of that is you, right? So you tell someone off to get back from them. If you're going to throw a player under the bus, it's because you expect them to either have a reaction to that, or you're making sure that other people know that you don't muck about, and there is consequences to people who do not behave in a way that you think's fitting.
Well, I don't think you have to go and do a public press conference to know whether you are in control of a football club or not.
I agree.
Or whether, you know,
I agree. But the media is a powerful tool. It's used by everybody.
Yeah, it is.
You managers particularly use it to be able to advance your opinions.
Yes, of course. Yeah, but players soon suss that as well too. That if you're using that.
Yeah,
as a
staple
tool,
diet. Yeah, I agree.
As
with
a tool, yes. Players, no, I'm sorry.
Martin, we're going to
eventually. What happens is that they store it in the back of their mind. You win the next couple of games, they soon forget about it.
Yeah.
You don't win the next couple of games. Oh, listen, it becomes a different issue. I don't feel as if you have to throw players under the bus. I'll tell you why.
But this characterization of throwing them under the bus, is it throwing them under the bus, or is it making them accountable? You're accountable. Yeah. I was accountable.
Yeah.
Why are the people that deliver the outcomes the only people that are not accountable?
Yeah, because that's the nature of the game. That has always been the game.
Okay.
Yes.
Doesn't make it right, does it?
No, doesn't necessarily make it right, but that's the game.
Did Cluffy do that with you guys?
If you can change something.
Did Cluffy take you into the public domain?
Players,
full stop. I think he did.
Yeah, but we're talking about something about 35, 40 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
You think
it matters
so?
A great. Yeah, it does.
Because you lot have engendered a culture in these players that they can do what they want.
It matters a great deal because players are more sensitive now than ever before.
You've allowed
allowed it. No. Society.
Encouraged it.
Society,
developed it. Facilitated it.
No,
enabled it.
No, society.
Good
society has
society.
Allowed it. Has yeah. allowed it. I don't think I've facilitated it. Far from it.
Encouraged it.
Oh, listen.
Patronised.
There are many a time where I would love to have said what I in public, what I said in the dressing room. I would love to have done that. That would be great. But you know what? You just turn. The only benefit I would have got was a five minute benefit to me at the end of the day. And by Monday morning, I've had to go into a group of players, disenchanted players. Sorry about it. Listen, I'm all on. I'm all on to be really happy to leave players out, particularly players I didn't like. It was really, really good, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. But I do have a problem about using my frustration publicly to hammer players when I've already done it in the dressing room.
I think there are some Villa fans who wouldn't mind if Martinez is left out anytime soon. Lee and Stourbridge, I'm an Aston Villa season ticket holder. Martinez has been acting up since the World Cup. A lot of us are fed up with him. He's got far too big for his boots. Okay, Lee, we'll take that on board.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Martin, well done. I don't know if Gary O'Neill, your namesake down at Bournemouth, got ballsy or not, but he certainly got a result at the weekend. Bournemouth very much need all the points that they can gather at this time in the season, because they know it's all about survival. Without disrespecting them, it's all about survival, as it is for one or two clubs around them. No matter what it takes, they want to stay in the Premier League. So, Martin, what does Gary O'Neill and Bournemouth do? They head to Wolves at the weekend, and they won. That surprised me. It surprised many in the game. So, to be quite honest, I think a lot of people have sat up and watched what they did there, going there and winning. That was not lost on Gary O'Neill this morning. Playing it down when I spoke to him, certainly. But Gary, for one, knows the significance of going to a place like that and coming away with all 3 points.
It was a big, big result for us, Jim. Of course, the lads have shown real togetherness and been a big sort of upturn in performance since the new arrivals and since we've managed to get some players back fit. But you always want that win to go with it. So lads showed real good courage, dug in some difficult times, difficult moments against Wolves. Obviously, they're a very good side that are on a very good run. So, it was a big result for us, no doubt.
But how helpful was that, Gary, that you can now call upon certain players who previously you couldn't because they were out injured?
Yeah, I think especially the last two matches, Jim, we've managed to improve performance for the sort of last half hour, 35 minutes of a game, which has made a big difference to us. Obviously, before the January transfer window and when we had so many injuries, we were always trying to take people off because they were looking tired and maybe having to tweak things and try and change things tactically, whereas it's sometimes a little bit more simple than that now, where we can just sort of change personnel, freshen it up. The squad is a lot deeper, a lot stronger than it was, so it's definitely helped us, especially the last two games, definitely, where we've had a much fitter and stronger squad available to us.
So the squad's deeper, you've got more players to call upon, which leads me to how much has a new owner, the American Bill Foley, changed the dynamic of the club, if you like, changed things for you personally for the better?
The backing from the new owner, Bill, in the January transfer window, obviously we had a real good plan and structure to how we wanted to approach January, and you can see from the profile of the players that we recruited, they're all of a very similar young age, still have their best years ahead of them, sort of 20 years old, 21, 22 years old, most of them. So good players that can help us in the here and now, but still have a lot of room for improvement, and make sure that the club's in a very good place moving forward beyond this season as well.
And yet, Gary, you'll be aware some people have pretty much already written you off. Does that drive you on? I mean, what makes people think, well, Bournemouth will go down? Is it because of a perceived lack of investment compared with other teams, other clubs around you?
Obviously, when you're promoted from the Championship, you're automatically one of the favourites to go down. We had a quiet summer, recruitment-wise, compared to most. Everything I heard from the very first kick of the season was that we were going to go down, and there wasn't too many people that doubted that, apart from the people inside the building. So, of course, you suffer some tough spells and some tough moments in the Premier League when you're newly promoted. But the first half of the season, where we were a little bit short, we still managed to be competitive and we still managed to put enough points on the board to be in with a shout. And we are. We always have been. We've never been cut adrift, as many people would have probably predicted we would be. But obviously, my job now is, we've got a deeper squad. We've still got four key players still missing. So my job now is to make sure I maximise what we've got and give ourselves a real chance. And staying in the Premier League would be huge for the club again this season. So, a lot of hard work still to do.
And it's your first full-time job as manager, Gary. Is it everything and more that you thought it would be?
Yeah, I enjoy it, Jim. I enjoy it. Even in the tough spells, don't pay too much attention to the noise. Understand the pressures of it, happy to be judged every week on what we produce. Fairly judged, obviously, but yeah, happy to be judged. Obviously, losing football matches is tough, but that's the same as when I played, really. I always took it badly when I played as well. So enjoy the ups and downs, enjoy having to try and maximise what we have, try and get the best out of the lads tactically, technically, and then mentally as well, because it's, as I've said already, you do go through some tough spells where there's football matches that are very, very difficult for you to win. We have three coming up right now, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool on the bounce. So you're going into a spell where you know you need to be resilient, you know you need to get the most out of everybody you have, and I include staff, everyone around the whole club. Everyone's digging in, supporters, everyone understands the battle that we're in for, and we're willing and ready to go, and we'll be every week.
It's amazing when you say that, Gary. City, Arsenal, Liverpool, your next three. But as you rightly say, it's all about standing together.
Everywhere around the training ground, Jim, everywhere around the stadium, big messages up everywhere about how together the club is. And you think back to some of the tough times that the club has been through, and it's probably used to being underdog, and it's used to its underdog status. And back to the time where the club nearly were on the verge of going out of business, and everyone around the place had to club together and make sure that this club stayed in business. And from that moment to where we are now has been an incredible journey for the football club. So I take huge pride in the fact that I'm the guy at the moment that gets to try and keep pushing it forward. Yeah, and I assure you, Jim, and everyone that will be listening, that I am giving everything to make sure that we do keep pushing the club forward.
There must be a genuine belief that with this squad of players, you can stay in the Premier League. That has to be the way you look at it.
Yeah, I believe so. Jim, the players believe so. I mean, of course, it's always difficult. I think there are clubs every season that are always in a relegation fight. And at this moment, we are. I see it that way. But also, I mean, we're a lot stronger now than we were. And hopefully we can get the others back without losing any more. When you are a newly promoted side, having your key players fit is huge. So we can start to get them back involved with the group that we already have. I believe we can give it a really good go. And as I say, every Saturday that comes, we'll be ready for. We've not won a football match since November, but we go to Wolves and you can see everybody's fully committed, and it's just, reset, attack the next one. And that'll be the constant message between now and the end of the season, whether we've won the last one, drawn the last one, lost the last three, whatever it is. The Saturday that's coming is going to be big to us.
Your 100% essential download. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.